First of all, I'm a Springfieldian. I've been here my entire life, and I'm in my 60s. Taught in the school district starting in 1968. I've had about every job from classroom teacher at the elementary level, middle and high. Coached a number of sports during that period of time. Was elected president of the SEA in the early 80s. Helped run the last successful referendum. We haven't seen one since, and some people have doubts with if we ever will. Became athletic director at Lanphier High School, was then named curriculum coordinator in the central office, which I did for 5 years. Worked as the assistant director of personnel. After that, I became principal at Lanphier. Did that for about 5.5 years. Went to central office again and became the assistant superintendent for secondary ed and alternative ed and all of that. In my last 2 years, I served as principal at Springfield High School before I retired.
It's no secret that the previous board had a troubled relationship with their superintendent and with each other at times.
Yes.
Was that kind of a motivating factor in wanting to get in yourself?
Well, I think absolutely. And what happened is that the issues that they fought about became the issues of the day, and that was it. It was very difficult for them to get anything done. And kind of felt sorry for them because of that. But by the same token, you're elected to serve, and a lot of things did not get done. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get some things done.
What are your top priorities looking ahead?
Well, number one is to find a replacement superintendent. Bob Lemming is an interim, and he may need to start the school year out as the superintendent if we have not found anybody yet. You know, I think that's the big one. And we are working now with a group that does this professionally all the time. And they have a lot of good contacts, and we have begun the process.
It's been said that, you know, this is not a good time to start a search for a superintendent. Those candidates, people who are looking for those positions, lots of them would have already picked which school to go to by now. So how does that make challenges or obstacles for this search?
I think it makes it very, very difficult. July 1 is the magic date. That's when these people start their new jobs, if they have, in fact, moved. And you have people, a lot of people who may want to do that, but they're already under contract and they don't dare walk in and say 30 days before school starts, gee, I'm leaving. They have to be granted permission to leave. That's almost a standard procedure in all those contracts for them.
It is feasible that we would go through even the entire school year still having an interim.
That could be possible.
And looking ahead at the budget here, as we look at $11 million or so in deficits to make up, where do you cut first?
Well, they've done some cutting. You know, they cut quite a bit of cost, but there's still a lot to be cut. They backed away from dealing with the high school cuts that I think are necessary, and I'm an old high school guy, but there's a lot of money there, and this is going to take a number of years to bring this back in to focus, because in the last 6 years, under the previous administration, we had Diane Rutledge had left us over $30 million in the bank, and we finished this school year with less than $1 million. So, and people shudder at those numbers, but when you're educating almost 16,000 kids, that's what it takes. I mean, it takes a lot of income.
And we've seen school closures, school consolidations. Are more of those inevitable looking ahead?
I hope not, but I think the district has to begin to plan to look at those kinds of issues. If X happens, Y happens. I mean, you just have to look at the possibilities. I mean, the communities that lost their schools this time, you know, that's kind of a pretty big psychic body blow for a lot of those places. People who've lived like in Grandview or in other places like where Pleasant Hill is. I mean, my goodness, I mean, that is kind of, that's a little bit of trauma for families in those areas who their parents may have gone to those schools. So it's not to be taken lightly, but we have to realistically look at things and say, some of these things may have to happen. And then what building do you close?
I'm Rachel Otwell, and you're listening to WUIS. We are joined by Chuck Flamini. He is the school board president for District 186. He is a new school board member. And Chuck, I wanted to ask about the residency requirement for school administrators. Apparently a longstanding rule that administrators live within the district boundaries for 186. Apparently that's not being enforced, as Adam Lopez, school board vice president, has been bringing up at recent meetings. What's your take on that?
Well, that goes back a number of years when I was in central office the first time. And it was an attempt to keep those people who are supervisory, administrators, whatever, to keep them living in the district. They're taking their income from the district. They should be sending their kids to this district. And that has had some success. And, you know, I know now that if somebody is in that situation, they give them a year, I think, or something to move back in. But, you know, some people say it's not working. I remember when it first started, there were some people that economically were really, really hurt because it was done in a time when it was very difficult to sell a house. So, I mean, you have to be very careful when you paint with a big brush because all people are not treated the same when it comes to this.
Is it your opinion that it's an important policy to have in place?
I think at this point it's very important to look at it. I'd have to give you, I'd like to see the data. I want to know how many and who, because I know about everybody in this district.
And then one other issue we know the previous board had to do with transparency. The attorney general said they had violated the Open Meetings Act, having private meetings about Walter Milton, previous superintendent, and his separation agreement. How is that something that this board can change, and is it something you're interested in changing, becoming more transparent with the public?
Well, if you've been following my attempt at running these meetings, and it's an attempt, it's not very smooth yet, but it's getting better. We are doing just about everything open, even when we will begin to. We've talked about which company we were going to hire without any preparation, without any discussion before, in front of everybody. We're doing more and more and more of that. I would rather be accused of adding too much sunlight than having everybody wear sunshades. We just can't do it that way. But there are some issues, of course, you have to have some secrecy, at least for a while. But ultimately, the public needs to know. They pay for it. This is their district.